train up a child. Train up a child. Amen. So let's look in Luke 22, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Today, I'm going from a topic, premeditative murder. All right. Premeditated murder. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord. And my objective today is to get us to realize that we do this daily. We commit premeditative murder daily. And we're going to stop. Because if you know better, you're supposed to what?
Do better.
So I'm here to help you to recognize when you get into that area, you know what to do to get out of it. Also, I want to give you the tools to fight against your murder plan. All right, okay, y'all got it? Okay, so we're going to look at three different things. First, let me explain to you what premeditative murder is. Pre, before, earlier, prior to. Meditative, considered in thought. Murder, unlawful killing of another with malice, without justification or valid excuse. Committed with intention. Committed with intention. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Intentional? So there are three things that you must have in order to commit this crime. A thought, meaning it's got to get in your mind first. A plan, that means your heart is getting involved with your emotions. And the third thing is you're going to take action. We're not speaking about physical murder today. We're talking about spiritual murder. And it is just as serious. And the consequences are worse. Amen? So let's look at a few areas where these murders were committed. The first place we're going to look at is Joseph. We're going to think about Joseph. You remember Joseph with the many coats? His brothers had a plan. His brothers had a plan to kill him because they were jealous of him. So jealousy is one of the things that causes us to do premeditative murder. Sometimes we just want what somebody else got. It may not be good for us, it may not work for us, but we see it and we want it. So Joseph's half-brothers were envious of him. You gotta watch your children. This is not a plaything. If you even see that little jealous green-headed monster rise up, you need to put that under control right away because it can grow. And that's what happened here. They plotted to kill him in Dothan, except Reuben. Now, Reuben, I think he wanted to change their mind a little bit. So he said, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a hole. And because he said in the back of his mind, You throw him in that hole, then later on I come back and get him out.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of this.
Uh-huh.
And some of your friends see what you're doing, and they don't want to be a part of this. So they might suggest to you something a little better, if you're willing to listen. So they agreed that they were going to do this, but on the way, they came upon a camel caravan, carrying spices and perfumes to Egypt, and they sold Joseph to these merchants. The guilty brothers, now I'm going to tell you how far your premeditation got to go now. They dipped his coat in blood and showed it to Jacob, his father, and had his father thinking his son was dead. Pay attention to siblings' rivalry. It's not cute. It can grow into something real ugly. So that's the first thing, jealousy. There's no need for you to be jealous. God say, what I got for you is yours, and you're going to get it. So you ain't got to do that. But some of us do, so we're going to continue on. Now, the next thing that we have is unforgiveness. That can cause us to go into premeditative murder. If you'll turn with me to let's go to Matthew. Matthew 18. Let's look in Matthew 18, and I'm going to be reading verses 21 through 31. Matthew 18, unforgiveness. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often ought shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which will take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But far as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Premeditative murder, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? He ended up having him beat up pretty bad. That's what happens with unforgiveness. Now, the third thing that we're going to talk about is greed. So we got jealousy, we got unforgiveness, and we got greed. So let's look in Luke 12, and we're going to be reading 12 through 22. For For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life considers not in the abundance of the things which he possess. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I restore all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to the disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So there are three things that could cause you to be premeditated murderers. That's so harsh, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, I don't get easy. So I'm going to give you an example. None of y'all are murderers, I know, but I'm going to talk about me. So a couple of months ago, I was in a lot of pain. And I sent my prescription, well, the doctor sent a prescription to the pharmacist. Well, the pharmacist didn't have, I kept calling all week, and I said, You got it? No, we don't have it yet. We're waiting on a call from the doctor. You got it? No, we don't have it yet. We're waiting on a call from the doctor. I'm speaking to this young man. Okay. Well, I drove up there, and I said, Do you have my medication? This is getting deep here. I'm in a lot of pain. He said, Well, I'm waiting on a call from the doctor. And until I get that call, there's nothing I can do. I said, Okay, I'm in the drive-thru. So I go around and I go in. Because I need to see this man face to face. No window barred. So I go in and I say, Look, sir, I'm in a lot of pain. You don't understand. I need my medication right now. So he said, Well, I told you I'm waiting on a call from the doctor. I said, I just got off the phone with the doctor, and he said he's already called you. So what's the problem? So then the pharmacist came up, and she said, I don't understand what's going on. I said, I'm in pain, and y'all ain't got my medication. That's what's going on. And she said, Well, we're waiting on a call from the doctor, ma'am, so we'll call you when it's ready. So I left. And I'm going to tell you about this premeditated murder. As I lay there in pain, I thought about that little fella. And I tried to figure out how I could get his little bony body through that window the next time I saw him. I trailed all night with them thoughts in my mind, how I could take my hand and put around his throat and just pull him through that window. I said, Now, something ain't right with this. I forgot about the pain. It was so intense. About this little fella. Had he been nice, I probably wouldn't have gone there. So, the next day, they called and said, Your medication is ready. I drove back through the drive-thru. There he was. I purposely said, "Good morning. Is my medication ready?" He said, "I told you we were waiting on a call from the doctor." I said, "You called me." So I went home and I began to think about how I could get his job, how I could get his children, how I could get his mama, how I could blow up the pharmacist, how I could take Fort Walton Beach out. I mean, it got bad. So finally, I got a call. And the doctor said, "Try again. They're ready for you." I said, "You better be sure, because if I drive up there one more time, somebody coming through that window, and it's going to be that little guy." So I drove up there, and sure enough, it was ready. But the way he gave it to me, I had to call on the name of Jesus, because he said, "It's done. You know we had to wait." "Okay, I don't want to hear all that. Just give me my medicine, and I'm going to leave you alone. If you give me my medicine, it's going to save your life, your children's life, your mama's life. Give me my stuff." What would take Minister Simone that far? Pain would do it to you. But we still got to pull that thing out and ask for forgiveness. We can't go around pulling people through windows. So now when I go through, I'm prepared to be extra nice. No matter what he says to me, no matter how he says it. And I wish they would just take him off that window, for real, for real. But until they do, it is my responsibility and my job to treat him like he's my brother. So I know if I had premeditated murder circumstances, all y'all sitting in here ain't without. Amen. But if you want to pretend like you is, amen, it's okay. Okay, so now that we done saved the little boy, for now, may he never run out of my medication again. But until then, there are different types of premeditated murder. And y'all know that I'm an illustrator. So the first type of was the one I explained about the boy. It's the weapon that you use is how intense. This is my favorite knife. Isn't it pretty? Uh-huh, real nice. And it's sharp, too. When you premeditate to hurt somebody, this is what you usually use. See, when you use a knife, you have to get up close and personal. Now, I can throw it back there and probably hit that door. But normally, when you use a knife, you want to get in there, you want to stick, turn, and make sure it works. And that's what we do to our folks. We want to stick them where it hurts. Y'all don't believe me? Get in an argument with your wife or your husband. Y'all can tit and tat. But when you think he got the upper hand, you go for something that's going to hurt him, and he going to remember that thing for days to follow. That's premeditated murder. See, not only have you forgotten about the argument, but you're going for the jugular. You're going to kill. That's not godly. He didn't say you couldn't auger, but when you stick and turn, you done messed up some stuff.
Yeah.
Even though you go back and say, I'm sorry,
right.
I apologize, he ain't gonna never forget what you said, and her too.
Amen.
Be careful what you say in anger. Don't cause premeditated murder. See, now you done murdered some cells in your marriage that you don't realize you done, and it starts to fester. Because now he don't trust you. What else she got up her sleeve? He gonna watch you. He gonna watch what you say. He gonna watch what you do. And what about you? You gonna sit up back and you gonna think about that thing too. Remember, a thought, a plan,
right.
An action. So you know what he gonna do? He gonna think. He gonna plan how to get you back. And he gonna act. So now you got two actions that were unnecessary. Just trying to help somebody up in here. Trying to help somebody. Now, another thing about premeditated murder. I'm gonna stay in the household. Is that all right? Can I stay in the house for a minute? Our children. Those are our pride and joy. Little Johnny come to you and say, now he ain't but this tall. And he say, I want to be a basketball player. I'm going to be like Michael Jordan. And you say to him, you can't even reach the tabletop. It's no way you can do that. Stop. You need to get your head in them books. That's what you need to do. Don't be thinking about no basketball. Don't be thinking about no sports. You need to do this. Now, what have you done to him? You done squashed his dream. Now, not saying he shouldn't be thinking about books, but at least let him decide that that's not the game for him. And we do it so often. You're so stupid. You ain't going to be nothing. You ain't about to nothing. You just like your daddy. We got to watch that. That's premeditated murder. But we do it often. And when the streets tell him he a man and he can do this and he can do that, who he gonna believe? Them. And the things that they'll teach them may not be manly. It will probably get them in trouble, but it started with you. Be careful what you say to your children. Encourage them. Support them. And when they come to you and say, Mama, you know I'm too short for that. Touchdown. You didn't even have to say anything. Be careful. It was one of the things that my grandma used to do. I'm even-handed. And back in her day, if you were left-handed, that was a curse. Just telling it like it was, Birmingham, Alabama, I don't know. So every time I would use my left hand, she spanked me. Use your right. Use my left hand, she spanked me. Use your right. So now, 62 years old, when I use my left hand, I feel it. I feel that. Because it was brought up in me, don't use your left hand. Now look how great I could have been able to use both hands. Broke this hand, that's all right, I got a spare. You know? Don't stunt somebody's growth. Okay, let's move on. Any murderers in the house?
Amen.
Excuse me? No. Hey, nobody ever know. I'm just trying you to get to, you to think about it. Now, some murderers are solo, and some you need a partner or a team. It's not God's assignment for you. Okay, so let's move on. How would you know if you were a murderer? Repeat after me. Thought, plan, action. But how would you know that you've been doing this? Let me tell you. It's called a six shooter. Y'all ready? And if you got any of these bullets in you, chances are premeditated murder. Okay, the first bullet. I promise I won't pull the trigger. I've been practicing with it all night. I can shoot pretty good, but anyway. You ain't never satisfied. Wow. You settle, but you ain't never satisfied. Okay. Bullet number two. You find fault with everything and everybody. Okay. Bullet number three. You know everything about everything. Can't nobody talk to you about nothing that you don't know about. And you have to be right. All the time. What we on, number four? Okay. You always suggesting negative responses to a problem. Want me to explain? I plan on stepping down these steps and sitting down. What you think, sis? Well, I think you should get two men on either side of you to help you. Don't get Wayne now. Get Papa Jay. Because he got a crooked leg. And if you fall, you can blame it on him. Okay. Our next bullet. You always disapprove of what somebody is planning. In other words, you're the one that sits in a meeting. That can't work. That won't work. That's not going to work. But you don't have nothing to replace. It ain't going to work. But you don't have nothing to exchange. You just want them to, it ain't going to work. Any bullets fit y'all? And the last bullet was really phenomenal to me. God know my heart. So I guess that gives you permission to shoot people. Because he know your heart. That's the most important one. He know your heart. He sure do. Uh-huh. And that's not good. Don't put it on God. So, you still need examples of what we done got to stick them. We done got to sharpshoot them. Got one more. This is a bomb. This is for premeditated murderers that think they have to disintegrate everything to make them look good. You made me angry at work. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call off tomorrow. What that's going to do is, I'll give you a good example. Dollar Tree. You mad at me, you called off. So you leave me in the store by myself. This whole bomb finna start. Customers coming in. The line is long. Productivity is not going out. You sitting at home going, yeah, I got her. No, baby, you got Dollar Tree, cause stuff finna go on up in Dollar Tree. You ain't hurting me, cause I'm gonna get paid. I'm gonna do me. But look at the people you're hurting. You're making people stand there and wait. You're making boxes be in the way. You're making people upset. You're starting arguments and they don't even know why they're arguing. I mean, it's going on and on. Why? Because you are upset with me. That's what you call a bomb murderer. Start off to get you, but by the time they get through, they done upset a whole lot of people. Because what happens is somebody calls the manager, then somebody calls corporate. You know, your store's 275. It looks a mess and da-da-da-da-da-da. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because you mad at me. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Now, what does God say about this? What does he say about this? When I looked it up, I said, premeditated murder is not going to be in the Bible. Young folks, I'm going to tell you something. Everything you need is in him. Everything. And I said, so how does God feel about this? He ain't too happy. And he says, if you know right and don't do right. Isn't that what he said? If you know right and don't do right, there's a problem. If you know today that you finna go out and hurt somebody's feelings tomorrow, there's a problem. If you can sleep and you're all right, now that bothered me by that little fella. It really bothered me. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to question. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe somebody didn't teach him how to be respectful. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It calms that anger and gets you to think, maybe you can teach him by your actions how to be a better, wonder person. Not by pulling him through there, but by telling him, look, when people come up there in pain, sir, they don't want to hear that smart talk. Just give straight answers and move on. Because somebody going to hurt you. But that's where we come in. When we see a fault, help the fault. Instead of causing a greater fault. Okay, so let's get back to our scripture. Now, we know Judas, and we know his assignment. But the part I liked about it said, the devil went into him. So, in saying that, that means what was in me when I wanted to pull that little boy through that window? That's not good. So when you sit down and you start thinking about how to revenge people, because vengeance, God say vengeance is mine. He said, let me handle it. So that's what I should have let him handle that little boy. And he probably still handling that little boy because I pray for him every day that somebody don't pull him through that window. But he said, vengeance is mine. Let me take care of that for you. Lay it at my feet. Let me handle that coworker. Let me handle that boss. Let me handle that meeting. Let me handle that plan. Let me handle your thoughts. Because you can't. You're going to become a premeditated murderer if you do it. So I began to think about that thing, and I said, now, I'm talking from the aspect of somebody doing something, me doing something to somebody else. But what about all them fiery darts that's coming to me in my back? And I used to say these this every morning, and I stopped. I said, you know, I'm all right. It's bad when a Christian say they're all right. You got to be in prayer all the time. You ain't right. You ain't all right. It's some fiery darts you don't even see. You don't even know that's coming up. You don't even know that there's somebody laying in their bed right now saying, oh, baby. Pulling out their six shooter on you and prepared. So I said, well, Lord, this is my fault. I should not have stopped doing these personal confessions every morning because somebody out to get me, and I don't see them, but you do. So I want you to listen to these personal confessions that I had to start back doing. The first thing I had to say is, Jesus, you are Lord over my spirit, soul, and body. Jesus, you have made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I ain't got to be jealous of nothing. I ain't got to be envious of nothing. I ain't got to be greedy for nothing. And then, talking about a knife coming in my back, I do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I do not have a care. I am the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse because Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases in his own body by his stripes. I am healed. I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in my body. Every organ, every tissue of my body functions in the perfection in which God created it to function. I honor God and bring glory to him in my body. I have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I hold fast to my confession of faith. I walk by faith. My faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and developer of my faith. And this one I love. I tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. I take my shield of faith and quench his every fiery dart. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm delivered from this present evil world. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I reside in the kingdom of God's just Son. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear my Father's voice and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I commit and trust all my works wholly to him. He will cause my thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall my plans be established and succeed. I let the word dwell in me richly. He who began a good work in me will continue until the day of Christ. If I say that every morning, if I say that every night, I have no thoughts, I have no room for anything less. It said that the devil came into, I tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Meaning you have no room in my mind. You have no room in my mind. When I get weak, I pick up the word and I read. How did Samson do it? How did this one do it? Because it's all in here. I will not, and I will confess this every morning, I will not be a premeditated murderer. I will not kill my sisters and brothers. I will not lie on my friends and tell them until everybody is not speaking to them. Y'all know we do it. I will not talk about you behind your back. And if I talk about you to your face, I will have compassion and empathy so it won't tear your spirit down. I will not allow you to speak to your child like that. I will build him up and then teach you how to build him up, because maybe somebody didn't build you up. I will not stand around and be idle, because when you're idle, idle hands is the devil's workshop. I got to get busy. I got to do what God has assigned me to do. And that means that I don't have time to put the thought in. I don't have time to work out a plan. And I don't have time to take actions. You got to get to that point. You got to get to that point. Because if you don't, when he see an open book, he go for it. He go for it. It is very easy, easy to be manipulated. It's very easy. It's easy. But what's sad about it is when you don't know better. You need to be the one to stand up and say, that ain't gonna work today. I'm not getting angry at her today. The other day I went, and the lady at the Burger King, I went and my dogs always get a treat. And I said clearly, do not, if you have chicken nuggets already set up, do not fry anymore. Just give me what you got. It's going to be about 3 minutes because I got to drop some more. Do not drop anymore because they're going to be too hot. Just give me what you got. However many you got, I'll take them from you. It's going to be about three. So sometimes people don't listen to you. But don't let that thought get in your head, I got to get it back. So when I got to the window, I said, how are you doing today? She said, I'm busy because I said, I understand, been there. I understand. I said, but let me explain to you why I said that. I wasn't trying to be smart. I said, but I give these to my dog. And if it's too hot, they won't eat it. She said, you give it to your dog? I said, yes, ma'am. They get a treat every Friday. I'm sorry. Do you want sauce with that? No, I don't want no taco sauce. It's for the dog. Why would I want sauce? But it's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy, snap back. It's so easy. And I say, no, ma'am, they don't like sauce. And so she said, and I say, I tell you what, every time I come in, and I do it the same time every morning, every Friday, so she ought to know by now, but I say, every time I come in, I be extra nice to her because she done had a bad day. Okay, how many murders we got in the house now? Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. I have some appeals to make. And I want you to really think about this thing. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. He wants to fight your battles. He wants to take the vengeance away from you. He wants to give you those things that you think that you need. He wants to do all this for you. But most of all, he wants to save you. He wants to be your savior, your friend, your doctor, your counselor. All of those things. And if you don't know Jesus, please raise your hand so you can be introduced to him. He's an awesome God. And he's just sitting there waiting on you. I see no hands. And just because